This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7.07 a.m. on Monday, the 26th of September. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. As always, let's kickstart the week and the day with a look at how global markets closed on Friday.
Oh, Shaz, my eyes are hurting. They're all red. The U.S. markets, Dow was down 1.6%, S&P 500 down 1.7%, NASDAQ down 1.8%. Similar trend also in Asia. The Nikkei was down 0.6%, Hang Seng down 1.2%, Shanghai Composite down 0.7%. I'm losing my breath. Singapore's STI down 1.1%, and also back home, FBM KLCI down 1%.
As always, Philip C, the drama queen when it comes to markets.
For more thoughts on where international markets are heading this week, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Kingsley, good morning. Thanks as always for speaking to us. Now, regional stocks have taken a heavy beating along with U.S. equities. We see the MSCI Asia Pac Forward PE trading at a new low of 13 times. Are you risk off or on when it comes to Asian stocks?
Well, we're pretty cautious on stocks globally as it happens. You know, this interest rate cycle looks set to bite much harder over the next 3 months. You know, clearly the US Fed's not for turning. And so this market's going to come under more pressure through November, we think. And that's, you know, that's creating opportunity, as you mentioned, with Asia at, you know, record lows there on the forward. But, you know, in the US, the S&P 500 is still trading around 17 times earnings. And so we think there's more downside to come as downgrades come through on some of those earnings in the United States. Across Asia, I think that means fund flows are likely to continue to favor US dollar safe havens. And so there may be a larger discount yet to come. So I think what that means is one should be prepared to hold through this further weakness. There's already a good value in Asia, but there may be further discounts to come. And so I think it's time to sharpen the pencil and just focus on being ready to act once this storm of selling calms down a bit.
So Kingsley, if we are going to get ready, what shall we buy?
Ooh, so I do think that obviously, if we look at what's happening in the world at large, the electric, the transition to electrification, however you want to put it, EVs and such, you know, renewable energy and all that, they look pretty interesting. I think right now, you know, there's probably still a bit of froth in that area, but we'd definitely be looking in that space. And I also think that obviously within technology, you're going to get good discounts on some of the more annuity-oriented names. But I think the days of massive inflows of venture capital into profitless firms, they may well abate. And then over in the materials space, as I mentioned with the electric transition, you know, there's plenty of metals that are highly relevant to that. And so we may see a little bit of a shift in, you know, investor preferences away from the traditional bulk commodities like iron ore, more towards lithium and copper, nickel and such like.
Hence the explanation why lithium miners like Lakewood Resources are doing extremely well, becoming one of ASX's top performers. Do you see Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, which pushes for renewable energies, really drive these kind of niche stocks moving forward then?
I think it certainly gives you know, a strong tailwind to those trends that are already in place. And obviously, it is important with the US being the largest economy. But I'd also point out that, you know, China's no slouch here. They have, you know, a huge growing EV market. It's, I think the total Chinese sales are equal to the rest of the world combined. And if you look at the situation on the ground with new car manufacturers, I mean, we often comment on China as being, you know, a state-controlled society. But you know, in many ways, they're more entrepreneurial than other countries in the sense that they have over 600 different EV makers that have emerged. So I do think that we're going to see worldwide a strong trend towards supporting those inputs, if you will, to the electric vehicle economy. And this could be really mundane things. You know, it could be stuff like, you know, just whoever makes electric motors or parts for electric motors. Or even something like, you know, an old-fashioned, so we say, tyre maker like Michelin. You know, most new Teslas that hit the road here in Australia have Michelin tyres and wide tyres for that because the acceleration and braking is such that they actually need high-performance tyre. So you'll see a lot of opportunities, I think.
Kingsley, with COVID being increasingly relegated to the past, how do you view pharmaceutical stocks from an investor standpoint? I mean, if we look at Pfizer, it's currently trading at a P.E. ratio of 9 times, and that's really a far cry from the nearly 30 times that we saw back in 2021.
Well, that really does look interesting, doesn't it? I think this market may have overreacted a little bit to the idea that, you know, COVID's gone, so we don't need pharma anymore. Of course, that's completely wrong. You know, the long-term dynamics of aging populations worldwide are going to support demand for health services. And there's continued innovation in the biotech sector. I mean, you know, it was very newsworthy a year ago with Cathie Wood having a lot of, you know, early stage biotechs in her ARC portfolio. And, you know, we might mock that for that period in terms of where they went subsequently. But there's a lot of innovation in that sector. And I think now that these are discounted and the market's looking the other way, it's definitely time to be looking at pharmaceuticals, biotech. And we'd also add to that medical devices and, you know, the sort of scientific inputs that go into the medical sector. So amongst those, I'd mention two stocks in the United States. I think Thermo Fisher and Medtronic are pretty interesting. And, you know, there'll be some pressure on valuations as bond yields rise. But definitely, they're the ones that I think you should have a sharp pencil for in terms of building some long-term positions for the future in what we think will be a pretty strong trend in this current decade.
Kingsley, I want to pick your brain on currencies. I'm looking at the pound, for example. It has dropped by close to 4% against the dollar on the back of that mini budget that came out on Friday. How much lower do you think the sterling can go down?
Possibly quite a bit more, actually. I mean, this this current period in the UK has strange echoes of the so-called winter of discontent in the 70s, you know, when a lot of things went wrong simultaneously. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense here to sort of point a finger of blame anywhere, but what we can recognise is that the UK is having to reorganise its economy, having left the, you know, the EU, simultaneously with, you know, this conflict between Russia and the Ukraine, and all that that means for energy prices, at a period when the UK itself is seeing its North Sea oil and gas assets decline, and it's in the midst of trying to ramp up its renewables. So not all of those, you know, we haven't joined all the dots here yet in terms of completing everything that the UK needs to get back on its feet with that new growth strategy. And so therefore, we do think that it's going to be quite a difficult winter in the UK. And not only there, also in Europe, obviously, with high energy prices.
Thank you, Kingsley. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his take on the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead.
I mean, this is in relation to the announcement made with that mini budget, which wasn't at all mini, was it?
No, it's lots of tax cuts, which the market just does not like.
I mean, this is a very big departure from the previous Chancellor of Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, which was talking about raising taxes to shore up public finances, because we all know governments, as a result of the pandemic, all have had their public finances under so much scrutiny, and hence we were very taken aback by these huge cuts in taxes.
Which has, of course, led to many questioning Britain's financial stability and whether the markets can actually absorb Britain going out and borrowing even more. Mm. So clearly the pound collapsed, like I said, close to 4%. And I wonder what kind of pressure Liz Truss is going to be under, because she's basically stuck hard to this. We are going to cut we're going to increase spending and cut taxes. In the meantime, it is being seen as a mini budget for the rich, not for the poor, those who are struggling with the high energy bills in the UK.
All right, it's 7:16 in the morning. We're heading into some messages when we come back. What do property sector players want to see in Budget 2023? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.